Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about dealing with a gay loved one. It's a complex subject, but not one beyond the reach of our guest, Joe Dallas. He joins us here for the second hour to take your questions and your comments. We have two open phone lines, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We will be giving away Joe's book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, to the best callers and emailers during this hour. As I said, two free phone lines there, 1-800-730-2727. Joe Dallas is Program Director for Genesis Counseling, based in Southern California, and author of several books, including this book we're giving away during this hour, When Homosexuality Hits Home. Joe, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Let's go straight back to the phones in Colby, Wisconsin. Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Carol. What's up?
My oldest son, David, he's 24, and 3 years ago, he gave me a letter. He wrote in a letter, and he handed it to me, and he quick left out the door, telling me that he's been gay for a long time and has never told anybody. And believe me, my heart pretty sank, and I got a lot of worries going through my head, a lot of guilt. I felt like, what did I do wrong? What can I do to change this for him? Why didn't I notice sooner? I've been divorced for 15 years, and I thought, like, oh, boy, maybe he didn't see a good marriage growing up. And I keep going through all this in my mind, you know, and I have two more kids, and my daughter is really upset with him. My other one is okay. He doesn't say much, but she's always angry with me if I talk with my son, and it's a hard thing to deal with because I love my kids, but how do you say, well, gee, you know, I'm not going to talk to my son because my daughter doesn't want me to, you know, and it's been really rough, and I worry about him all the time, and I feel like maybe every day I must have done something wrong.
Carol, let's see what Joe can do to help, because I know this is something Joe has heard before from parents and from others as well. Joe, first of all, the guilt. What did I do?
Carol, the question is based on the idea that if your kid has done something wrong, you must be to blame, and that's not true. I hope you'll pick up a copy of my book, because in my book I go into this in a lot of detail, and I try to point out that parents will usually ask themselves all the questions you just did. What did I do wrong? What can I do to change his mind? How can I stop this from going any further? And they're all really questions that are understandable. But the fact is, homosexuality is not caused by one simple reason, other than we could say the sin nature. There are many reasons that combine to create homosexuality. So parents really don't have the power to make their kids gay. So it's really not a question of what you did or didn't do. Where he is now is the result of a combination of probably subconscious impulses in him, the power of the flesh, the world, decisions he's made as well. Many things are working together, but please don't assume that you're one of them. Now, you need some support for yourself at this time because you're needing to try to sustain your relationship with him. I don't think you should let your daughter box you in by telling you that you shouldn't speak to him. Of course you should be speaking to him. I hope you'll draw closer to him than ever. Keep that relationship alive and gently explain to your daughter that you wouldn't cut her off just because she wasn't sin, and you're not going to cut your son off either. But nor do you have to condone what he's doing. You can be honest with him about your feelings, your worries, your concern, your heartache. That's part of being in a relationship, is being honest with each other. And in my book, I even offer some questions you can ask him to kind of probe what is going on here. When did you decide this is okay? Where do you think your future is? Where do you think you're headed? But please stop assuming that you did this or you created the problem, because I think you're too quickly heaping guilt on yourself that is not based in fact.
Carol, hang on the line. My producer will take your information. I'll send you a copy of Joe's book, When Homosexuality Hits Home. I think you will find it very, very helpful. So hang on the line there, and Jeff will get with you in just a second. Up next, Susan from Columbia, Missouri. Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Hello?
Yes, Susan, what's your question or comment?
Yes, my question is this. I am a Christian psychologist and in private practice, and I went to a Level One Out conference in Kansas City recently and was informed there that often in the lesbian community there's a high degree of partner abuse. And I was just like violence, hair pulling and hitting and violence. And I was wondering if there's any evidence that supports this.
I have heard similar things as well, Susan, although as we learned in the last hour, sometimes this information is less reliable than we'd like it to be. Joe, what do you know?
You know, I speak with Love One Out. I've been with them for years, and I haven't heard that particular info. It was probably on one of the presentations on lesbianism that I wasn't in. What I'd suggest you do is contact the NARTH website, because on that website, and it's just NARTH.com, and that stands for the National Association for Research and Treatment of Homosexuality. And in there, you'll find studies on these types of things. And so if there has been a study that shows statistically a higher incidence of violence among lesbian couples than among heterosexual couples, you'll find it on that website. So I think that's the best place to check it out.
Jeff in Wausau, Wisconsin. Jeff, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. What's your question or comment?
Hey, welcome. Well, greetings, Todd. And greetings, Joe. My questions are two questions for you. One, what is your best advice for overcoming the temptation to embrace the homosexual lifestyle? The second question would be, Joe, how are you set free from the homosexuality?
Those are two good questions. Let's deal with the first one, Joe. The best advice in dealing with the temptation.
Deal with it the way the Bible suggests dealing with all temptations. Don't condemn yourself for being tempted, but trust that you have the strength and the ability to say no to the temptation when it comes. A temptation is just that. It doesn't mean that you have an unchangeable condition or that you're helpless in the face of that temptation. Be accountable. I think all Christians, especially who've been involved in any overt sexual sin, should be regularly accountable to at least one person, preferably a group of godly people, and talk about your temptations openly on a weekly basis and just explain when and how they come. Get the encouragement you need, get the exhortation, the mutual prayer, the discipling, and I think that is a good way to go for any of us who are tempted with any kind of a life-dominating problem. As for me, what set me free was the truth. I was fortunate enough to sit under Pastor Chuck Smith's teaching in Newport Beach and Costa Mesa area in Southern California here. And Pastor Smith very carefully, expositionally taught us the Bible. And so I rejected that when I went into the gay community. I tried to rewrite the Bible. I joined the gay church. I tried to convince myself that this was something that God ordained and approved of. I even promoted that idea up until 1984, and in January of 1984, I just couldn't keep kidding myself any longer. So nothing in particular happened other than the truth that I had learned for so many years just became impossible to push down. I really felt like somebody who had been holding a basketball underwater for 6 years of my life and finally had to just let it go, and that's what brought me to repentance. And so I hope that all pastors and Christian leaders and disciplers will remember there's nothing more valuable you can do for a person than faithfully teach what the Word of God says.
What would you say to those churches? And there is, I won't name the denomination, but there is an entire large denomination in the United States that has set out a whole new advertising campaign in a subtle way based around their acceptance, not in repentance, but acceptance of homosexuals and their sin.
Well, you know, I wrote a whole book on this subject called A Strong Delusion that came out 8 years ago based on my experiences with the gay church, and I provide in that book a point-by-point rebuttal of the pro-gay interpretation of the Bible. But I would say to those churches what I think I would say to any church that's teaching blatant error, that they need to repent. I think that in the book of Revelation, many of the churches that Jesus rebuked had either adopted doctrinal error or they were practicing severe moral error. And I think any church that it condones homosexuality is committing both of those errors, and it's a very serious error to be committing.
Well, they would say, look, we are showing the homosexual love. We are showing them acceptance, just like Jesus would accept them. How would you respond?
Well, again, since when does acceptance mean lying to people? You know, my doctor accepts me, Todd. Every time I go in for an appointment, he accepts me. He examines me, takes my blood, checks my vital signs. He certainly is a very accepting man. But guess what? If I have a problem, he will tell me. That's his job. He accepts me, and he tells me the truth, even if I don't want to hear it. What kind of a doctor would he be if, in the name of acceptance, he told me that I only had indigestion when, in fact, I had severe heart trouble just because he didn't want to offend me or upset me? Good night. That's what I would call a quack. And I think it is theological quackery to tell people that sin is not sin, all in the name of acceptance. Ultimately, that person is going to have to answer to God, and if we have deceived that person into a false sense of security, on the day of judgment, that person will rightfully point to us and condemn us and say, why didn't you tell me the truth?
Joe Dallas is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address as we talk about dealing with gay loved ones, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you find that you struggle for words when you pray? Are you unsure what to pray for? Do you fear praying for the wrong things? Do your prayers lack focus and direction? Do you feel unworthy to approach God in prayer? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a daily devotional titled, The Lord Will Answer. This resource presents prayers in one-page, easy-to-use devotions. The Lord Will Answer is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse on our website, issuesetc.org. The Lord Will Answer explains the six R's of prayer: recite, read, reflect, repent, rejoice, and request. The Lord Will Answer costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Lord Will Answer, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joe Dallas is our guest. He's author of several books, including his latest, When Homosexuality Hits Home. We're talking about dealing with a gay loved one when you hear the news. And really, that's the hard part, but the harder part comes in dealing with that ongoing relationship, or perhaps even the lack of a relationship. He's program director for Genesis Counseling, based in Southern California. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers and emailers get this book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, by our guest, Joe Dallas. Joe, a couple questions here as we wind down our conversation. The warning signs of that parents might be looking for. Now, we could talk about the spouse or anyone else in the family, but I think the parents have this kind of bead on their children on all aspects of their behavior. What should they be looking for? Not the parents want to go around wondering whether every one of their children is gay, but what should they be looking for by way of warning signs?
Well, first and foremost, let me recommend a book to any concerned parents that are listening here. It's written by a friend of mine. His name is Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, and it's called Preventing Homosexuality. And it gives a very lengthy answer as to what to look for in a child, because it's not always so easily detected. Let me start by saying that in many cases, Todd, it is not detectable at all. Not every child who becomes a homosexual starts off as being either an effeminate boy or a tomboyish girl. But if you do see from early in life consistent what you'd call gender nonconformity behaviors, the boy who likes to play with dolls, the girl who prefers trucks, the boy who is wearing women's clothing and prefers to play with other girls, those are all signs, certainly. that the boy is not homosexual, but is having a problem with his gender identity. He identifies more with the feminine than with the masculine, more with the female than with the male. And in a case like that, you should intervene and either take him to a child therapist who can help identify what some of the contributors to that might be, and or make sure that that boy develops an even stronger tie with his father or that girl with her mother. But in general, the warning signs would have to do with gender nonconformity. If your child is showing traits and preferences that are more commonly associated with the opposite sex, that is a warning sign. Also, if your child becomes extremely withdrawn and is seeming to develop a sort of a sullen, dark, isolated demeanor, that's an indication that something is terribly wrong, and oftentimes it's an indication that they're questioning their sexuality and they don't like the answers that they're coming to. So, for goodness sakes, be involved. I like those ads that say parents are the best anti-drug. I also happen to think parents are just the solution to many of the problems kids are facing, but they've got to be involved, parents.
What about, and this is kind of the aftermath of the announcement, the homosexual lifestyle, especially in some parts of our country, comes along with a whole subculture that's ready to embrace it, and
yep.
a lot of self-destructive behavior, not just the acts of homosexuality, but other self-destructive behavior as well. Talk about that.
Well, the aftermath of homosexuality, of course, is very varied. I mean, there are homosexuals who are extremely promiscuous, and the rate of promiscuity among male homosexuals does tend to be much higher than among male heterosexuals. So there's often a lifestyle developed that can include multiple partners. Unfortunately, in that particular lifestyle, the more promiscuous lifestyle, there's a tremendous amount of drug and alcohol abuse, and that all is a reason to be very concerned about any gay loved one, of course. I think the aftermath also includes a strong guilt. And this is something that I see, even though, Todd, I can't prove it, but I strongly believe it anyway. I think that just as Paul said in Romans 1, man does have a sense that there is a creator, and the creator's laws are written on man's conscience, and man makes a choice either to listen to or ignore those laws. I think it's also true, then, because of that, that we inherently reject homosexuality when we first discover it in ourselves. For most people who realize they are attracted to the same sex, that is not a happy realization. Initially, there's usually a rejection of it, like, no, that can't be right. I don't want that. That doesn't feel normal. Now, some people would say that's just cultural homophobia that we've all been brainwashed into having, but I don't buy that. I think it is a natural rejection of unnatural behavior, and I think if people embrace that behavior, in spite of their conscience initially telling them not to, I think they do reap psychological damage as a result. I think that it involves repressing your conscience. I think that's one of the reasons many openly gay people seem to be so very angry, is I think they're trying to drown out their own conscience by attacking anybody who doesn't openly condone their behavior and their sexuality. So I mentioned this in the book as well, in my book for families, because I want them to try to understand some of what their gay loved one is going through, and hopefully by understanding that, they can deal with them more effectively.
You reacted pretty strongly when we were talking before with a caller that there is a brand of misinformation out there about homosexuality, well-intentioned, but it's misinformation that seems to do more harm than good. Talk about speaking the truth about homosexuality in love, as Scripture counsels us.
Well, speaking the truth carries its consequences. You know, Jesus said truth liberates. He said the truth will set you free, and that's true. But he also said that whole families would be divided because of him, that he came to bring a sword, and truth can, like a sword, divide. Gosh, as we speak, you know, there are many denominations that are dividing over the truth, both on the authority of Scripture, on the person of Christ, and on sexual ethics. So today we see the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the United Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church USA are all dividing over this issue of homosexuality. It can be then a very painful thing to stand for the truth. And if you love someone who is gay and you want to sustain a relationship with that person, you may be tempted to compromise the truth because you want to get along. And I think that one of the misnomers we have about love is that it requires us always to get along. And that is really not true. I quoted Paul from Romans earlier when he said, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And that's a good thing to do. I think we should never go out of our way to be offensive or hurtful in any way. But there really is a place where we have to be honest with people and say, you know, I love you too much to tell you that I think you're right, when in fact I am convinced you're wrong, and I'm asking you to please prayerfully consider what the Scripture says about human sexuality, what God himself, your Creator, has to say about what you were meant to do with your body and what you weren't meant to do with your body, and consider the consequences of stepping out of that plan. Because ultimately, it really is not so important that people like us as it is that we are honest with them in a loving, respectful way, of course. And so I hope that any family member listening will, on the one hand, embrace their gay loved one, love that person, respect them, do all you can to sustain the relationship. But for goodness sakes, don't shy away from speaking the truth either, because truth and love are meant to coexist.
Joe Dallas, Program Director for Genesis Counseling based in Southern California, thank you for being our guest.
This has been a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Todd.
The goal here is forgiveness, that every thought be brought captive to Christ, that every sin be brought to the foot of the cross where Christ has paid for it all. A person who would refuse to repent wants to keep their sin for themselves, and that applies to you and to me too. So we repentantly, as repentant sinners, approach other sinners, and we say, come with us, lay our sins at the foot of the cross where Jesus Christ has paid for them all. Let Jesus bear this sin and draw strength from his sacrifice for us at the cross to live as for repentant and forgiven sinners from here until he comes again to bring us to himself. This is the goal. This is the goal. Is it an easy road? No. But a very easy way to see that one way is Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.